We're going to open our Bibles in Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25. And that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knowing the Son but the Father, neither knowing any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and I ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Is Christ a true rest for you? In this passage, we found Christ inviting all humankind to come to him and to rest in him, because he is the only one who can give true comfort. It is Christ himself, the one who invites. He doesn't say he knows where the rest is, but he states that rest is himself. From the beginning of the chapter 11, we can see John the Baptist's unbelief. John sent two of his disciples to ask the Lord if he was the one who was expected to come. Later, in the same chapter, we find the unbelief of some towns where the Lord Jesus Christ had performed many miracles. Unbelief and more unbelief. It's in the middle of this lack of faith where Christ extends his invitation to men and women. Maybe you are a person who usually comes to church, and the question for you in this morning is, after all your life, is the gospel really true for you? Christ offers salvation to human beings, and that includes you. This is the most important test in your life, because it is nothing less than your eternity what is at stake here, depending on your answer to this invitation from Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ says, come to me, I will give you rest. These are not mere, just simple words. They are a wonderful, amazing promise. These words are a reality, a fact in the sense of God. We're going to cover three main points in our meditation. First, Jesus offers salvation to men and women. Second, Jesus carries the burden of some men. Third, Jesus is the only rest for men. First, Jesus offers salvation to men. As we can read in verse 28, he invites all of them. The non-Christian person is absorbed in the worries of this life. Possessions, riches, things that according to their own minds will bring them the long desires. Others decide to throw themselves into the sensual pleasures of this life. Sports, body worship, beauty worship. Others work in vain, leaning on their own justice. Satan's slaves are the most enslaved men on earth. But what about believers? What about us? Christians are usually burdened and crushed to under the daily fight against the flesh, the world, and the devil. So all men are overloaded with a heavy burden, which is hard to carry. In the verse 25 of our text, we see Jesus starts praying to his Father, showing us his simplicity and meekness. We appreciate mainly in the Bible that God has revealed his gospel to the simple, the humble, and the meek. Very often the Christians happens to go into a state of pride, a really thin line, so subtle, nearly imperceptible for himself, but a stage which finally leads him to forget his humility and to stand on his own pride. Appearance disguised that pride and simple, the Christian does not realize. Our church attendance, our prayer meetings, our church life, and similar things can make us fall into pride without noticing. Pride takes us to an stage of trust in ourselves. An Owen theologian tells the story of a gentleman who once wanted to cross a river. When he went near the shore to do so, he found a man lying there, lying back on waters. "Is the river deep?" the gentleman asked the man. "I don't think so," the man replied. So the gentleman, riding his horse, go decidedly into the river. He barely entered the waters when it turned out to be terribly, terribly deep. And horse and horseman, to the bottom they went. And that is exactly what happens to the Christians. Sometimes we are like this man lying back on waters. It doesn't, the Christian sometimes doesn't focus on this invitation of the Lord Jesus. Doesn't dwell on the root of this invitation, but only pay attention to the externals. It is not about our meetings, our church attendance, our good works. It is about truly coming to Christ and about accepting this invitation on the basis of Christ himself and his work. A certain theologian say, "The burden of your humility will never be a weight for you." Why? Because Christ will help you to carry it. But the burden of your pride will always be heavy, because Satan is sitting on it. It is the same Jesus, the one who invites the sinner. It is Jesus, the one who also carries the burden. And it is Jesus too, the one who gives rest. In the verse 27, we can appreciate this union between the first and the second person of the Holy Trinity. This union enjoyed a perfect harmony from eternity, before the world was created. Jesus worshiped his Father for each and every action that he explains by several prayers. Jesus worshiped the Father both for healing and for rebuilding. In the Bible language, the verb know never means a simple action of having knowledge of something, but it implies an experimental knowledge complete with love and life. In the same way that the Father has power to hide and reveal, the Son also reveals the Father to the one he wants. We are referring to an inner revelation that only takes place through a living communication in the Son, and by which he makes us participant of the unique knowledge that the Son has about his Father. And today, now, in this moment, in this morning, today Christ, through his word and his mercy, invites you and tells you Come. Come to me. The second point is Jesus carries the burden of some men. Jesus carries the burden of some men. Who was Jesus thinking about when he mentions all you that labor and are heavy laden? Jesus was thinking about those oppressed by the heavy burden of rules and regulations imposed by the scribes and Pharisees. Matthew 23, verse 4, we read, if you want to come with me, Matthew 23, verse 4, we read, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. Jesus encouraged, take my yoke upon you. In Jewish history, a yoke represents the total amount of obligations that a person had to assume in accordance with the teachings of the rabbis. This definition explains and clarifies some expressions like the yoke of the Torah, the yoke of the commandments, or the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. Teachers in Israel had misinterpreted and had placed on the shoulders of the Jews a legalism with no foundation, so that one's salvation depended on his obedience to these rules. In verse 29, Jesus teaches us the right thing. What is the right thing? That the salvation of a man or a woman depends on his or her truth, real trust in him. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, Christ said. Yokes were made of wood and had to fit closely on the shoulders so that the burden could be properly carried. If the weight being transported was really heavy, the yoke was still heavier and left some marks on the skin. In those cases, it was not help using it, but rather a hinder way to carry the burden. When Jesus used these words, he means his yoke is easy, kind, and his burden is light. Trust in Christ, obedience to him and to his word, given by himself to believers through his salvation, is a pleasant burden which brings joy and peace. This is what the man is really looking for. This is what you are looking for in your life through many things and places and can never find. When you have Christ, you don't need to keep on searching. The Holy Spirit bears witness to you. That man who possesses Christ is already complete and full. Besides, the yoke means submission to another, either to law or some kind of authority. If you haven't got the yoke of Christ, which brings this peace, then it's no other option. You have the yoke of Satan, a yoke under which you will always be laboring and heavy laden, where you will never have rest. Well, sadly, you will always be looking for a peace that you will never be able to find. The yoke of Christ is light because it is He Himself who is helping us to carry it. For the children of God, even when the burden is so heavy that we are crushed under it, there is the privilege of having an open way to God through prayer. God's people need to check their lives with the Word of God and come daily to Christ for liberation. Because it is only He, the one who takes our guilt and sin away, who also protects us from Satan. Jesus of Nazareth is the answer to all your fears, worries, pains, and wickedness. But even to obey, we need his help. Our mouths profess soulishly. But what about our hearts? What about your heart? It is quiet, easy, sometimes to obey God from a comfortable situation, from a stable position where we have no needs. What is your rest when you have real needs? When you are sick, is Christ your rest? It is there when a child of God realizes that the yoke is heavy and that he alone is not able to carry it. But the believer doesn't boast of his own strength. Quiet, on the contrary, he runs to Christ who takes him in his arms. When a person really knows Christ, he realizes that he is incomparable because he always keeps his word. Whoever you may be in this morning, you need Christ to take your burden. Put it at his feet and you will find relief. Third point is, Jesus is the only rest for men. Jesus is the only rest for men. This is not a new way of talking about Christ. We can find a very similar language along the Holy Scriptures. According to Christ, in chapter 5, verse 5 of this same gospel, the meek person is the one who surrendered his life to him. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, we read, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elder. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." The synonym for meek is humble, and the opposite is proud. Daniel 2, verse 19 to 23, and Isaiah 29, verse 14, we see a vocabulary very similar to the verse 25. For example, in Isaiah 29, verse 14, say, "Therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with his people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden." It's in a lot of places when we can find this vocabulary. Jeremiah 6:16, we find these words, "You will find rest for your souls." This rest for our souls is the result of taking on ourselves the yoke of Christ. Christ is the channel used by God the Father for the salvation of the chosen. Maybe the most popular text in the Bible referring to rest is Psalm 23. It is read in most funerals, but it talks about the rest for the believer, with many other things implied in it. "The Lord is my shepherd" implies the existence of a relationship. "I shall not want" implies provision. "He make me to lie down in green pastures" implies a rest. "He lead me beside the still waters" implies a refreshment. "He restore my soul" implies healing and joy. "He lead me in the path of righteousness" means direction and guidance. "For his name's sake" implies a purpose, a reason why. "Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death" is obviously talking about trials. "I will fear no evil" means protection. "For you are with me" talks about faithfulness. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me" — this is strength. "Thou anointed my head with oil" implies dedication, devotion. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life" speak about blessings. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord" implies safety and assurance. forever. Forever means eternity. When you are resting in Christ, you are not enjoying only the rest, but many more blessings as well. If you believe by His mercy in Him, you will be able to make this rest your own and apply to you these comforting words of Psalm 23. Maybe you are wondering how it is possible that Christ can give this kind of rest. What did He do? What did He do? Some years ago in a house in the United Kingdom, a telephone rang. A woman answered, and it turns out to be her son's school headmaster, who told her that her son had had an accident and he needed the parents to go as soon as possible. In a second, with no delay, that woman and her husband got into the car and drove to the school as fast as they could. As they got near the place, they noticed there was a lot of traffic for every direction. Stop it there. They could not go further. The woman had a strong feeling and told her husband, "George, I think the Lord has called our son home." They got out of the car and walked to the place of the accident. And the scene was awful, terrible. The dead body of their son lay bleeding on the road. Those parents shocked stood still for some seconds. Suddenly, George, the father, started looking at the cars stopped there in both sides of the road, and in a moment of painful madness, knelt down before the bleeding body of his son and started trying to give him back all the blood spilled over the road with his own hands, while he cried, "You will not step on my son's blood. You will not drive over him. You will not step on his blood." The mother watched all this at a short distance. A few years later, she confessed that this was the picture of her life, where she could see and understand better than anywhere else the sacrifice that Christ made for her. Because God the Father had to sacrifice His beloved Son, with whom He enjoyed a perfect harmony before the beginning of the world, and He made Him sin. He had to throw all His anger on Him, as we can read in Isaiah 53 verse 5. "But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Crush, crush, crush. The Father had to crush His Son and put all His wrath on Him for His people, for you, Christian. Because there was no other way to take you, to take me, to heaven, because your sins had to be punished. Christ died there because of what we do here. It is because of this perfect sacrifice that Christ made on the cross of Calvary that Christ can invite men. It is because of that blood shedding that Christ can take every burden. It is because of His resurrection that Christ has the power to be our rest. In the next chapter, in chapter 12, you can find the Lord Jesus dealing with some histories about the Sabbath. And what is Sabbath? Sabbath is rest. And that the Lord Jesus was teaching us what is the real meaning of rest. It is also important to notice the union between the Father and the Son. This we find in verse 27. whoever in verse 28 to 30 that we see is a relationship between Christ and his people. Jesus gratefully raising his soul to the Father, talks to his disciples and tells them about the deep truth about himself. We can find this in the parallel passage in Luke 10, verses 23 and 24. The Bible describes Christ in many more ways. As a shepherd, because he leads our souls. As a doctor, to heal us. And also as a light, so that we can see clearly. Maybe you are wondering this morning, will it be possible that Christ reveals his Father's love to someone like me? Knowing every detail in the biblical doctrines is good and beneficial, but it's not a requirement for salvation. True and simple faith is what Jesus demands. Through the grace of God, you can knock at the door and accept this invitation. Through the grace of God, you can confess your sins and change the heavy yoke of the devil for the light yoke of Christ, which will take you to heaven for all eternity. What is going to be your answer in this morning to this invitation of the Lord Jesus? Sometimes there are things happening in our lives that we are not able to understand. Why do I have through this surgery? Why has my son got this disease? Why my loved one have passed away? Why do I feel so lonely? Why doesn't my husband or wife turn to the Lord after so many years praying for that conversion? Why? Our Lord Jesus went through this too. Psalm 22, verse 1 and 2. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou nearest not, and in the night season, and I am not silent. Although Christ feel greatly distressed, agonizing over your sin, he does not stop calling his God, that one he's complaining that has left. At the end of this psalm, the writer shows us consolation, a hope, from verses 27 onwards. And then we arrive at Psalm 23, where we see Christ as our shepherd and our rest. There are wounds that maybe never in this life will be healed. Chapter 13 of Gospel of John, we find the narration of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. When he gets to Peter, he doesn't want him to do so because he can't understand it. And then we find the words of the Lord Jesus in verse 7 of this chapter of John. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. It wasn't till later that Peter understood until later. In the same way, anything that happens to you in life, dear Christians, you may not understand right now, as you are living. But you have God, Christ's promise, that you will understand later. For you Christians who already believe in Christ, this passage encourages you and strengthens you. Look at Christ, even though your faith is weak. Look at Christ when your faith is on fire. Look at Christ when your faith comes down to pieces. Look at Christ, even when you think you have no more faith. Whoever you are, everything you need is in Him. A simple look at the cross, a soft touch of His tunic will be enough to take you out of any depth where you are. Christ invites you. Christ will carry your burden. Christ is our rest. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because this invitation of yours is still for us. It is still in force and it has no spare date. We ask you to keep on bearing our burdens and also that we may remember continually the great sacrifice you made for us. We thank you because even where there was nothing worthy of you in us, you decide to love us and reveal your Father to us. Take our feet far away from pride and make us meek and humble like you. Help us take all our burdens to you so that you can make them lighter. Bless every member of this congregation so that we can all together preach your gospel to every creature. O Lord, thank you so much for being our rest. In your name we pray. Amen.